Good Monday morning to you. Welcome to Jump in Tucson. I'm your host, Dr. Ed Ackerley, and our producer is Matt Neely. Coming up tomorrow, Ted Maxwell will be the host. On Wednesday, Grant Kruger, and on Thursday, Tom Moulton. I'll return next Friday with Friday business success stories. You know, the Monday segment of Jump in Tucson celebrates the wonder at the University of Arizona, all the good things that are happening. Over the last few months, there's been a lot of press about the things that are going on at the U of A, which are less than wonderful. But there's so many fantastic stories out of the University of Arizona, and what an incredible impetus it is for economic development, for knowledge, for lots of things that happen at the U of A. And so this Monday segment celebrates the rich history that the U of A brings. And our guest today is someone who is amazing in his own right. He chose the University of Arizona for his education and came here and also added a little bit to the culture of Tucson. It's All-American Damon Stoudemire. Coach Stoudemire, so great to have you on Jump in Tucson.
Thank you, Ed. I appreciate you having me on. It's an honor.
Well, truth be told, I know you from your days in the early 90s at the University of Arizona. You were in one of the classes at the U of A that I taught, and so I met you when you were an undergrad, and then have been obviously following your career over time. So let's talk first about something really important, and we'll get into sports. Let's talk about your education at the University of Arizona and you getting a film and television degree and being involved in that, and coming back even later to make sure you finished it once you were in the NBA. So talk about your college experience at the University of Arizona.
It was amazing. I knew after the first semester, when I was kind of struggling academically, that I didn't know, no offense to anyone, I knew I wasn't going to take psych or social. I think that was like the thing that they were trying to push the athletes toward. And when I realized that those thick books weren't me, that's when I explored and I dove into the media arts field. And the thing about it was that it was something totally different for me, but I was interested. And little did I know that moving forward in my life, that, some of the things that we were doing in those classes, they really helped me as I moved on. And, it was amazing the things that, I learned. I took an acting class, for instance, and, pantomime was a part of the process. And, just learning how to articulate your thoughts through your bodily movements and different things. I'm telling you, that was the best thing that happened to me. And then when I came back to finish up my degree, that made it that much more rewarding. So no, getting my degree at Arizona meant a lot to me. I didn't want to go to another school. I didn't want to go online and do it. I actually wanted to come back and go in the classroom because I felt it was more beneficial for me.
And I have to say, as an instructor there for over 35 years now, how important it is. So what an example you set. You had an opportunity to go off and, at the time make a substantial amount of money in a pro professional setting, but you decided to come back in your off time and get your degree. You left so you could go play and make a bunch of money, but you still came back and got your degree. And I really think that's a really positive thing and a great example for other people. Well, let's talk a little bit about 91 through 95 when you played at the University of Arizona. You were a consensus All-American. You were a fantastic record at the U of A. What was it like playing with the legendary Coach Olson and just that whole time with Khalid and playing for what was just an amazing Final Four appearance that your whole time at that 4 years that you were at the U of A?
It was great. It was a lot of great memories. Coach Olson was, one of the best. He influenced me and helped shape me a lot. He was great from a mentorship standpoint. He was great in creating habits in us, and forever be indebted to him for that. It's really, as you get older, you realize it's not even about the basketball. Because the reality of it is that who was meant to be really good and who was meant to go to pros, that's what was probably going to happen anyway. But the thing that, you know, he shaped and he brought to the table for us, you know, as young men, young student athletes, was a family atmosphere. And, you know, coach was, you know, he was a stand-up guy. And, you know, he, for me, you know, he was the father figure I needed at the time. But, you know, with the guys, you know, play with great players, Sean Rooks, Khalid Reeves, Chris Mills, you know, Matt Arthick, you know, Michael Dickerson was a freshman, play with him, Miles Simon, freshman, you know, play with some really good players, Ben Davis, Joseph Blair, a lot of guys that were really good at basketball. And, you know, the lifelong friendships that you have and you create come in there as well. You know, it's a brotherhood that for me is unmatched. And, you know, the best times of my life, I always tell people this, you know, the NBA was a blur. But those 4 years of college were great. And I remember more about those 4 years of college, honestly, than I do about my NBA career.
Yeah. Well, you did get to go to the NBA and you got to play for four NBA teams, the, Toronto, Portland, Memphis and, Dallas, San Antonio Spurs, correct? And so you've played in the NBA for quite some time. You got to play for a long time for a point guard. That's a long tenure at four different places. So it was a blur, but it was fun, wasn't it? It was fun playing in the pros.
It was fun, you know. So many worldly experiences, meeting so many different people. I think the biggest thing for me in the NBA, it actually wasn't about the money. It was about the relationships. And a lot of things that I'm able to do now is based on the relationships that I formed, you know, not only in the NBA, but in college as well. So you meet so many people, you're traveling around the country, you know, and then I started traveling abroad and, you know, meeting new people and, you know, just kind of diving into new things. And, what a great experience. You know, I wouldn't trade those 13 years of my life for anything. But, you know, like I said, you know, it's funny because as a player, I think I played 13 years, right, probably about year nine, I started thinking about other stuff, you know. And then year 10, I ended up getting hurt. And I had, like, it was almost like the injury that ruined my career, but I still played another 3 years, but I was never the same player. And that allowed me to start thinking about other things, which I did, and made my transition a little smoother.
Right.
Most maybe into just being back to the normality of the everyday person.
Well, we're talking to Damon Stoudemire of University of Arizona, standout basketball player for 4 years under Lute Olson, a 13-year NBA player, and now the head coach of Georgia Tech. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk to Damon about the University of Arizona era under Tommy Lloyd and the trajectory there, and talk about his tenure at Georgia Tech and what the future holds for him. So we'll be back in just a moment on Jump in Tucson on KVY 1030 AM. Welcome back to this Monday version of Jump in Tucson, Wonder at the University of Arizona on KVY 1030 AM. My name is Dr. Ed Ackerley, and with me this segment is a fantastic human being and a very talented player, and now a fantastic coach, Damon Stoudemire. Welcome back, Damon.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about, before we talk too much about where you're headed with Georgia Tech and your thoughts on building the team for the future, let's talk a little bit about how Tommy Lloyd has been able to build his era at the University of Arizona after the Lute Olson fantastic run, and then, of course, Sean Miller had a pretty decent run as well. But now under Tommy Lloyd, it's an amazing culture, an amazing atmosphere that he's presented there at the University of Arizona basketball team. Can you just talk a little bit about Tommy and talk a little bit about what the team, just in general, of what your sense is of how they're doing and the future as the team moves forward into the coming years?
Yeah, no, I've known Tommy for years, you know, he's done a phenomenal job. I don't think. I always say this, and you know, I don't think people really understand how hard it is to take over a program or anything, a business, whatever, that's had success in the past. When the lineage is there and you're following behind people that have created a legacy, it's not easy. And, you know, Tommy, from day one, he stepped right in and, you know, he's kind of put his stamp on the program and he's building it the way he needs to build it to, for him to be successful. And, you know, it's one thing to be successful. It's another thing to be sustainable. And he's done both of them in a short period of time. And I think that, you know, the program.
This meeting is being recorded.
The people of Tucson and alums and Arizona fans, you know, from coast to coast should be, you know, proud to have him leading the charge. You know, he's done a phenomenal job, and I see it going, you know, just the trajectory, you know, doing nothing but rising.
And I think the one of the things that I remember back from when you played at the University of Arizona, that you guys had fun. You guys were having a blast when you were making your way to the Final Four, and you just had a great time playing for Coach, and loved each other, and had a great family atmosphere. And I think Tommy has brought that back to the University of Arizona. I think the guys that are playing are quite excited to be there, and it shows on their faces. It shows on the way they play with each other. And I think the Tommy Lloyd era at the U of A is kind of reminiscent of what you guys played with.
Yeah, that's you know, it seems to be that way. And what I would say is the biggest thing about any program is, you know, you always listen to the players and the players and how they talk about the coaches. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the players, you know, have said nothing but wonderful things about Tommy. So, you know, that's how he's doing a good job. You know, you don't have to spread the word when your message to other people is spreading the word for you.
Well, Damon Stoudemire, tell us a little bit about what your prospects are for the new league for the University of Arizona, entering into the Big 12 and starting to play a different set of players than what you played with. You played with the Pac-12 during your time. The Big 12 with, what do they have, 16 or 18 teams now, so it's probably the big whatever it is. They're going to have a challenge on their hands traveling across country to play games all across the United States.
Yeah, they will, but I don't think it'll be any different from the standpoint of who they are. I think that the team and the program and how they play, it translates to the Big 12, so I don't think it'll be any issues. I think the biggest thing, you know, on the initial, just finding the rhythm. I always say this because it's big, finding the rhythm of the coaches that you're playing against. So I think once they, you know, Tommy, and he figures out, like, when you're playing, you go from playing the Pac-12 to going against, now you're going to be playing against those new coaches that you might play once every couple years. You got to get a feel for how they play, and then that ends up shaping the way you coach and, you know, your adjustments and things of that nature. I think Arizona will be fine. Houston translated, for instance, into the league this year, right, from the AAC, and everybody was saying that, you know, they was going to have issues, and Houston won the league in the first year.
Right.
So I don't think Arizona, I don't think Arizona have any issues of being the same team and who they are, you know. Mm-hmm. So I look forward to getting an opportunity to see him in the Big 12.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Damon Stoudemire and your first year assignment here at Georgia Tech, and now you're on to building the roster and building your legacy at Georgia Tech. Tell us a little bit about your plans and what you're looking to do. Of course, the portal plays a big role in that in modern day, and NIL plays a big role in that. So it's kind of different from when you were playing. But what are your prospects for the future for your team at Georgia Tech?
Just trying to figure everything out. I stepped away for a couple years and went to the NBA as an assistant coach. And when I came back to college, it was literally totally different from when I left. Like, everything has changed. You know, but I'm having fun. You know, I'm trying to establish who we are, establish an identity. as we move forward. We had some great wins this year, but we also had some bad losses. And I think that the biggest thing is, you know, not only finding my type of player, but finding consistency. But, you know, I've always, at my previous stop at Pacific, you know, I had to roll up my sleeves and, you know, build brick by brick. So I'm excited about the opportunity. ACC is a great basketball conference. It's really different from growing up on the West Coast from the standpoint of, you know, going and playing down at Duke and NC State and all these different places. And seeing how crazy the basketball is on this side of the country. So it's been a lot of fun. And, you know, I like the trajectory. And I look to make, you know, another step this coming season.
Do you make it back to Portland frequently? And I asked you if you've been to Tucson lately. You said you'd been back about 4 years ago. When are you coming back onto the West Coast so we can see you again?
Man, I just actually left the West Coast. I was in California recruiting about 3 weeks ago.
Oh,
but
great.
I tell you, you know, it's West Coast guy, you know, but it's been so hard to get back to the West, you know, that boy, that's a long flight.
Yeah.
I always tell people, if I need to see you, I send you a ticket.
There you go. That's great. Well, Damon, you've been, you know, this show is about wonder. That's the theme of the advertising campaign for the University of Arizona the last 5 years. And I think wonder says a lot. And this show is celebrating the good things happening at the University of Arizona, both now and previously. And you are certainly a great ambassador for the University of Arizona, for the education that you receive. We're really proud of you coming back and getting your degree. And we're proud of what you've been able to do in the coaching ranks now that you've completed your MBA career. And I know there's lots of fans out there in Tucson that just think the world of you and wish sometimes we could have you back on the court shooting your three-point shots because you were pretty amazing at it. How is your cousin doing, Salim? Is he what's he doing these days?
He's doing well. He actually lives out here in Atlanta.
Oh, does he?
He comes to the gym and, you know, talks to the kids and, you know, he does, you know, he's been out here. He's lived out in Atlanta. He's been out here about, I would say, ever since they drafted him back in 05, he's pretty much been out here. So he's been out here a minute, almost 20 years. But it's great to be around him, you know, again. You know, it's been a long time. And, you know, Salim is, you know, he's always been more of a brother than he is a cousin.
Right.
You know, and he actually lived with me for a little bit when he was in high school. But he's doing really well and, you know, just proud of him. And, you know, I've always been proud of the things that he's accomplished.
Which one of you is a better three-point shot, you or Salim? You both were amazing, but have you guys ever have a contest to see who can make the most or anything like that?
Salim's a better shooter than me. I'm better off the bounce. I'm better with the ball in my hands. I'm better at creating.
Yeah, you're a creator. I love it. You throw him the ball and let him shoot from the three-point line. Yeah. Well, Damon, it's just a pleasure to see you again, and we're so proud of you and appreciate all the good work you do with the young men that you're in charge of over these so many years in your coaching career. Your trajectory is positive, and you're making a big impact on young people's lives, much like Coach Olson made on your life when you were a young man. And that's a great legacy for Coach Olson, and you're doing a great job.
No doubt. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. That's our University of Arizona great alumnus, Damon Snoddebyer, who was Damon was on the 91-95 University of Arizona basketball team, took him to the Final Four, and then went on to coach a little bit at the U of A, but coach in college, then go to Georgia Tech, where he's been. After a 13-year NBA career, he's now at Georgia Tech. So thank you, Damon, and we'll look forward to seeing great things from you in the future. This is Jump in Tucson, and if you'd be interested in being interviewed on Jump in Tucson, send us a note. Go to jumpintucson.com and let us know that you'd like your company or organization to be interviewed on Jump in Tucson. We're on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice, Tucson's only live local news and talk station. What a great joy to talk to Damon Snoddebyer today from the University of Arizona. Coming up next, we'll be talking to Colin Waite, who is part of Camp Cooper. He'll tell us about that little project that's been going on for quite some time. And we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to Jump in Tucson. Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is Dr. Ed Ackerley with Stories of Wonder at the University of Arizona. It was so great to talk with Damon Stoudemire, University of Arizona All-American and now head coach at Georgia Tech basketball program. What a great guy and a great ambassador for the University of Arizona. Well, we want to talk today about another program that's been at the University of Arizona for 60 years, Camp Cooper. And we want to talk to Colin Waite, who is the director of the Cooper Center for Environmental Learning, Department of Teaching, Learning, and Social Cultural Studies at the University of Arizona College of Education. So welcome, Colin. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Let's talk a little bit first about Colin Waite and how did you get to the University of Arizona and your academic career, and how did you get into Tucson and be part of the education department?
Well, I grew up in a small town in upstate New York, and my parents gave me the opportunity to do a lot of playing outside. That was all there was. It was the first age of the first Nintendo, and so we didn't spend a lot of time in front of the TV or on a device. And so I spent a lot of time in the creeks and in the forests around my house, just being outside. And when I had the opportunity to look at what I wanted to do for a career, I had a high school environmental science teacher who really turned me on to the idea of connecting science and other aspects of the world into a job. I went to NAU for an environmental science degree, met my beautiful wife there, and I did a year of grassroots organizing for Sierra Club and Defenders of Wildlife and other organizations. But I got really burned out on talking about environmental issues with adults. Mm-hmm. We as adults are very set in our ways. It's hard to change opinions and minds. And I wasn't doing as much outside as I had wanted to. And I moved here to Tucson in 2001. I helped open the Bookman's on Speedway in Wilmot when I first got here to town. And my wife, who's a high school math teacher here in Tucson and TUSD, saw a job opportunity at Camp Cooper and said, that's where you want to be. She had gone to the camp as a kid in the late 80s. It had been an incredibly memorable experience for her, and she saw something in me that made her think about that place and that job.
That's great. You were telling me we had talked a couple of weeks ago, and you have recently returned from a little jaunt, a little outdoor excursion yourself, right? With your one of your kids.
Yeah, that's true. My 17-year-old son and I just got back from 4 days and 3 nights backpacking in Grand Canyon. Hadn't done it in 5 or 6 years, and so it was definitely a challenge for me.
Right.
It's the first time he'd ever been backpacking, but it was absolutely phenomenal. We got great weather. It's going to be something that neither one of us is ever going to forget, and he's hooked on the backpacking bug now. We're already talking about what's next. So.
Yeah, when I was a young man, I had the occasion to go down Bright Angel and also Havasupai, which is amazing. The Havasupai is a little gem that no one ever sees unless they go down to the bottom of the canyon. It's gorgeous, but it is awe-inspiring to go to the Grand Canyon. It's amazing.
Absolutely, and it reminds me of just how important it is to have those magical outdoor experiences. And sometimes we get stuck in the day-to-day and the stress of life. And it doesn't necessarily have to be plunging all the way into the bottom of the canyon, but it certainly does help to be able to have those times of respite.
Well, at Camp Cooper and the Cooper Center for Environmental Learning, are you, of course, we're going to talk about the camp itself and the learning for the little guys. But do you engage with the undergraduates at the U of A or graduate students and assist them with their learning and what you're doing?
Absolutely. I mean, I think at this point, even the folks that are students at the university, young adults now, are they themselves disconnected from being
Correct.
Out in nature and the environment. And so mm-hmm. We work with the early childhood education and the elementary education programs as part of the teacher preparation. Mm-hmm. They come to Camp Cooper. They work with kids in an informal setting outdoors so that they can see the value of that experience. We're going to the schools that they're teaching at mm-hmm. so that they get an opportunity to see how you can take an outdoor experience and tie it into what's happening in the classroom. And then we do a lot of internships for both undergrads and graduate students. There are a lot of folks who want to be educators, but they don't necessarily want to be classroom teachers.
Right.
And so we want them to have a chance to get their feet wet and see how enjoyable and valuable it is to work with kids outside.
I was out of another college. The Ag College has a little program where they do little gardens in TUSD schools across and other districts across the valley. And I happened to be at Ochoa Elementary a couple of weeks ago, and the principal let us go out when they were doing some young students from the University of Arizona were teaching the little kids about gardening and how to do things. And we had the same discussion about how important it is for young people to get outside and to do things in the environment and not be cooped up either in a classroom or at home in front of a video screen and doing things. So what Camp Cooper does, both for people that are learning to be teachers and people that are studying to get an education degree, but also for the individuals that are involved. So tell us a little bit about the College of Education in general, what the whole purpose of the college is to try and impart teaching abilities to young people who are learning, undergraduates who are wanting to get a teacher's degree and go out and teach, but also in the master's program and doctoral program, they come back and they administrators and other folks take that. So the education department is important to the U of A.
Oh, absolutely. Our educational system is the foundation of our community. And you need passionate and well-trained educators, administrators, counselors, psychologists, all of the support network that allows our young people to thrive and grow. And so there are a lot of outdoor programs that are tied to other units within the university. But what I love about being part of the College of Education is that we're looking at best instructional practice for working with kids in all of these different settings. And to be able to be part of that and to learn from the expertise of the faculty and staff, to be part of the research, really has allowed Camp Cooper to grow and to be a better resource to the community.
And this is really important, as you say, when people are coming in, say, from out of town and thinking about starting a business in Tucson, economic development-wise, one of the first things they ask is, what is the school structure and what type of learning are schools providing? And
right.
To be able to engage with TUSD and other districts on with young kids, childhood learning is really important, even though the University of Arizona focuses obviously on older students who are undergraduates, masters and doctoral students and postdocs. Little kids and the learning that they get, the work that your wife does in TUSD, how important that is, and it's important that the U of A be involved in that process.
Absolutely. That community engagement is part of the land grant mission, and it's mm-hmm. just so important for the community to feel supported by the university.
Right. And so we're going to talk a little bit about the 60th anniversary of Camp Cooper, a little bit about what's coming up for you folks. Obviously, in the summer, there's a lot of activity with things going on in the 114 degree weather that we're going to be having in the summer, and talking about how you engage Tucson's youth in the Sonoran Desert. You're listening to Jump in Tucson. This is the Monday version where we talk about the good things happening at the University of Arizona. And of course, one of the good things is all the programs that are developed at the University of Arizona that engage with the community, engage with Tucson. And Colin Wade is the director of the Cooper Center for Environmental Learning, the Department of Teaching, Learning, and Social Cultural Studies at the University of Arizona through the College of Education. And we're going to come back and talk about the good things that are happening at Camp Cooper and talk about last Monday we talked about the Bennu Project and the OSIRIS-REx mission and the little pebble that's on display at the gem and mineral thing, and that I called it out of this world, and the Camp Cooper's more of this world. It's talking about the environment in which we live and the great prospects we have for learning for young people. So you're listening to Jump in Tucson. This is Ed Ackerley. We'll be back with Colin Waite in just a minute after we hear a few words from our sponsors. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice.
Don't dance ahead.
Welcome back to Jump in Tucson. This is Ed Ackerley. Monday is the Wonder version of a Jump in Tucson, where we celebrate the good things happening at the University of Arizona. I did want to remind you that in 2 days, on Wednesday, is if you go to Jersey Mike's and buy some lunch or dinner, 100% of the proceeds goes back to the Boys and Girls Club. And they were our featured guest on Friday, and I encourage you to support them in giving back to our community. Speaking about giving back, Colin Waite is with us. He's the director of the Cooper Center for Environmental Learning, the Department of Teaching, Learning, and Social Cultural Studies at the University of Arizona College of Education. And Colin is the director of Camp Cooper, which is for 60 years has been engaging Tucson's youth in the Sonoran Desert and the community and the environment in which we live. And tell us a little bit, Colin, about Camp Cooper and how it came to be and what you do there as the director.
Yeah. Camp Cooper is an opportunity for kids from all backgrounds in Tucson to be able to get out into nature, learn about how it works, and be inspired to live more sustainably on the planet. We focus on working with Title I schools, and so we're working mainly with field trip groups from school groups. It allows us to serve the kids in Tucson who have the least access to our natural spaces. You know, I joke that these are not the families that are going to the Desert Museum or to Saguaro National Park on the weekends. And for many of them, it's their first time being out of the city. And if they're partaking in one of our overnight programs, it might be their first night away from home, out experiencing the desert. And so all of our programs help kids build an emotional connection to nature while also teaching them the foundations of how an environmental system, an ecological system works. And the goal is to have them want to take care of where we live. There's so much about Tucson that is built around the wonders of the Sonoran Desert that surround us and that we're part of. And so we need to grow our next generation of environmentally responsible citizens and leaders.
As part of that, you're working on a Camp Cooper master plan. A donor has given some money and obviously grants and other donations, and to try and do some fun things to develop a physical presence. Tell us a little bit about the master plan.
Yeah, Camp Cooper at this stage in its life is almost fully funded through philanthropic efforts. And so my main work as director is fundraising and administration. And we've been very successful in reconnecting with Camp Cooper alumni from across the generations and in finding people and organizations and businesses who see the value of connecting young people with the outdoors. We have just broken ground on the first facility improvements in over 50 years, which are sustainable bathrooms and showers for our overnight programs. And future phases will include renovating our sleeping cabins, expanding our indoor classroom space, and adding sustainable food service. And so there's an incredible opportunity for people in the community who engage around environment and education to support the work that we're doing and to really pay it forward to this amazing group of kids who are going to be the folks who are leading our community forward in the future.
So this is a facility, 10 acres, located on the west side of Tucson in Saguaro National Park in that area?
Exactly. It's 20 minutes west of the University of Arizona on Trails End Road, which is just north of Gates Pass Road. And it's kind of tucked back in the Gates Pass area neighborhood. And because it's really been focused on field trip groups for its 60 years, not a lot of folks have known about it. And mm-hmm. We're really trying to change that to see the value of the work that we do and kind of spread the word.
Do you office out of that facility, or are you in the island in the middle of Tucson in the College of Education, or have two offices?
Yeah, that we have two offices exactly. We have an office on campus and we have an office at the camp itself. I try to spend a couple of days a week out there so that I mm-hmm. can engage with the programs and work with our education staff, but. The work of writing grants and meeting with folks is kind of an all-over Tucson thing. And so I'm doing a lot of moving around.
So you engage with, obviously, school districts is where you get a lot of your engagement, Tucson Unified School District, to be specific. And so, but other districts have obviously over the 60 years have engaged in with the center. If I was a teacher and this is the first I've heard of Camp Cooper, I've only been here for 5 years and didn't even know that the U of A had this program. Where would I go and what would I do and how would I get involved in Camp Cooper?
Yeah, all the information on our programs is at coopercenter.arizona.edu. And we're always happy to come to a school to do a presentation about our programs. And we're always happy to host educators and administrators or the public in general out to the camp for a visit to see the programs in action. We're open to any educational group. The property is owned by Tucson Unified, and many of our programs are Tucson Unified, but we work with students from other districts and other schools from across the region.
So even a group of homeschoolers could actually come out and have a little presentation and experience Camp Cooper if they contacted you through the website, correct?
Absolutely, and we've had homeschool groups that have done that, and we're also beginning to do more with programs that are open to the public. We have a program called an Earth Walk, which is ways to observe nature more closely using our senses. And in April, we're going to be kicking off one Saturday a month. We're going to do an Earth Walk at camp, and so folks can look for that information on our website and on our social media as well.
Is there anything during the summer for kids to experience? Is it in the 117 degree weather, as I said earlier?
Our facility is not summer friendly right now.
Right.
It's one of the things that we're doing with our master plan. Mm-hmm. And so we do a lot of work with other summer programs such as Ben's Bells and Children's
right.
Museum. And it's something that we're looking to add.
There's a great picture in the UA News of the story about the 60th anniversary of a young boy hugging a saguaro cactus. And, you know, you talk about that emotional bond that they make with the desert. You know, these young kids are living in the desert. And they don't really understand where they are and the beauty that's around them. And we have a veritable forest out there of saguaros that is unique to the Southwest. And it takes a little notice to have a kid go out there and actually engage with the environment in which they live.
Yeah, and it's more important than ever for us as adults and as community members to understand the necessity of getting kids outside, facilitating those opportunities, so that they can see the beauty of where we live and care about it as much as we do.
So the future looks bright for Camp Cooper. 60 more years in the offing, you'll be the director for quite some time, and and hopefully you can engage more students in the process.
Yeah, thank you so much. I do think that our future is bright as long as the community continues to help us.
And that's important because, as you said, the sustainability of Camp Cooper is about philanthropic donations. And so if someone was interested in supporting Camp Cooper and making a donation to make sure that kids had the opportunity to engage with their environment, then certainly touch base with you on the website and see how they can get involved and maybe come out and see you in action and see the kids actually learning. It'd be really cool.
So, wonderful.
Thank you, Colin, so much for being here today. Today was a Wonder Day, Monday, the Wonder Day, which we talk about the good things at the University of Arizona. Tomorrow, Ted Maxwell, Wednesday, Grant Kruger, Thursday, Tom Moulton. I'll be back on Friday with business success stories. If you'd like to be interviewed on Jump in Tucson, go to jumpintucson.org. And great today to have All-American basketball player, now head coach of the Georgia Tech, Damon Stoudemire with us, and then Colin Waite from Camp Cooper. Two great programs and two great ambassadors of the University of Arizona. Thank you for listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI, Tucson's only live local news talk station. We appreciate all the support that you give to Jump in Tucson. Make sure to go to Jersey Mike's on Wednesday. Thank you, and we'll see you on Friday.